Thinking retirement is a breeze? Think again. Today's podcast exposes the hidden dangers that could derail your golden years. We'll bust the myths, unveil smart saving secrets, and help you navigate a smooth path to a dream retirement. Stay with us and plan for the future you deserve.
And now, Money Matters USA with Fred Sage.
And you also need to work with your advisor to create multiple income streams.
You're at the right place for information every week regarding all the components of a successful retirement plan.
Asset allocation is really a driving force for how much your accounts are going to grow.
Fred Sade is a financial fiduciary and retirement specialist.
I have to put the client's interest ahead of my own pocketbook at all times. I must be able to justify why I'm making the recommendations.
Money Matters USA with Fred Sade.
It's certainly understandable to have misconceptions going into retirement. I mean, most of us, we do it one time. Fred Sade has done it many times through the people he's worked with. Fred is a retirement specialist. This is Money Matters USA. Fred is actually founder and managing director of the fiduciary firm Money Matters USA. You can learn more at the website moneymattersusa.net. Fred holds a PhD in economics from Duke University. He lends his experience, his knowledge, his wisdom to this podcast every week. And Fred, it is understandable that people could have, will have misconceptions going into retirement. You've seen many of them.
Oh, you know, absolutely. People rely on rules of thumb, which is understandable, you know, because there is automatic ways of thinking and responding. I mean, you just can't think carefully through thousands of things that we do every day without thinking. Those are heuristics, as they are called, spelled with an H. And one of the favorite rules of thumb is this so-called 4% rule. Actually, it was never a 4% rule, if you like. It was a 4.5% guideline based on a 50-50 portfolio, stocks and bonds, and was created in the early 1990s. And it's a very simple design. So is intended that each year you take out 4.5%, and plus inflation, and you keep on doing that. If inflation drops, you take out less than inflation. If it increases, you take out more. One of the problems here is that the 50-50 division of this 4.5% rule of thumb assumed that A, all distributions were tax-free, and there are no fees or any other expense associated with the portfolio or with the withdrawal. And then if you lived up to 30 years, and if all of that was true, then the portfolio would last 30 years. If you lived 31 years, well, you were just out of luck. You outlived your portfolio. So I know Morningstar makes a big deal out of this. They just did another study on this so-called safe withdrawal rate, and I saw an article by Bill Bengen, who invented the concept, the other day, in which he said, well, you can really take more than. But the other problem with this is it is essentially a fixed distribution strategy, and it's not necessarily realistic. We have a lot more options today than just stocks and bonds. And in reality, the three most prominent distribution options are a standardized withdrawal rate, and that also includes RMDs as the strategy for some people. And it also includes bucketing or time segmentation, which is the one I prefer. But I also like the flooring concept, which is the final one. And those are the three concepts that are the most prevalent, and one of those concepts is going to be used. Now, one of the other problems with this, as a takeaway, is that depending on which of these strategies you use, you can find that you're going to underspend. One of the real problems that we see over and over again as a subject of major research is that people underspend, don't spend, need permission to spend in retirement. So what exactly is the point of saving for retirement if you get out to retirement and then you're afraid to spend the money? What sense does that make? The other thing is that you're going to wind up leaving a larger legacy than you intended to family, because you don't want to spend the money, but believe me, your kids and grandkids will be only too happy to spend it. And you have to think about the fact that you have longevity in here, which multiplies and puts pressure on all the other considerations that you may have because of the extended longevity. People live a lot longer today than they did in the past. We'll come back to this. And finally, fees. They're going to pay more in fees than you anticipate because not only do you have to understand how much you're really paying in fees, but also because the larger the portfolio, the more fees you're going to pay. So that's really a triangle that you really have to think about is longevity, is fees, and legacy. So there are other distribution strategies, and those are my top observations here about this first misconception.
Yeah, and that's where, too, you talk to them about many ways to help eliminate that misconception in spending and how you'll spend in retirement with a spending plan to go along with that income plan. People come to you, and do most think that expenses go down drastically in retirement?
No, the first 2 years, it's either the same expenses or higher. Mm-hmm. Expenses, because that's where you have, the travel and gifts to grandkids and all these things that you've pent up to do, renting, a trailer and hitch it up to your truck, and go camping throughout the United States, or you're going traveling to Europe or Asia, wherever it is that you want to travel, and so you're either going to spend the same amount or more. Also, if you're taking distributions from portfolios that are entirely tax deferred, you also have to account for the additional tax expense that you're going to have. And spending in retirement is really age driven. Assuming that you give yourself permission to spend, or you use one of the other two strategies that are dominating, bucketing or flooring, mm-hmm. And usually people with flooring tend to spend the most because they know that because they have guaranteed and protected income. Mm-hmm. Every month, they know that that's going to fill up. The bank account will be filled up, so they don't have to worry about running out of money,
right?
Because it's lifetime protected.
Yeah, you were talking about the 4% rule earlier, and you were saying, hey, this looks good up to 30. What if you live 30 years in? What if you live 31, 32, 33, 34? See, that's what sounds scary to me about that. So, and that's another thing I think people may do. Another misconception here is underestimate how long they'll live.
Yeah, all the time. We use the Society of Actuaries longevity calculator, and we do a longevity analysis for people. We want them to. We have a conversation with them. We show them the projections. And longevity is based from your current age, not from your birth age. So when you read in the paper that from birth age, the Census Bureau says that you're going to mortality is adverse and people are living a shorter period of time. That may be true from birth, but it's not true for what we're talking about, because longevity has been extended. And then if you're married, you really have to look at joint life expectancy, because the probability is so great that a man is going to live between 84 and 86, and a woman will live between 86 and about 89. It's almost a 50-50 at this point to those numbers. And if a female can get to 88, 89, there's better than a 30% chance they'll get to 94, 95. And after that, it's about a 10% chance that they get to age 100. And I'm not trying to, you know, say that everybody should plan on living to age 100, but I don't think you can discount that anymore. Mm-hmm. When the insurance actuaries are planning to age 30, 130.
Yeah.
And that's not totally unrealistic. It may be for this generation.
Certainly not in the future.
Pay a lot of attention to see who is over 100, 100, 200, 400, 5, and see what the push out is to get to those ages. So it's very important to have some reputable calculator, and that's why I use the Society of Actuaries calculators. But I'm told that there are other good ones. I've never used the Penn Wharton calculator, but I know people who do and say they like it, and there are others. But the point is, it gives you a framework, because then you have to then agree on where do you want to draw that line. Are you looking at a 50% probability? Are you okay with a 35% probability? So you have to measure from that point to how long you want your portfolios to last. And this is especially important if you are dependent on a portfolio withdrawal strategy for your income. And portfolio withdrawal strategies have no concern with gapping, a gap between what you spend and, you know, inflation and what you want to spend. It's irrelevant, because you want to take more money out of the portfolios, assuming you're not caught by sequence of risk. Now, sequence of risk is the biggest error, biggest danger that you can make in retirement, in the first couple of years before retirement, the first 2 years in retirement. If the market is against you, this is dangerous, because you don't have fresh income coming in anymore that you can throw into the market and counteract losses. But you are now left with a portfolio that you have to take money out of in order to live. So we see people doing something like, well, I'll take it out of Social Security, and then claim early with no thought anymore. It's like the longevity analysis just got dumped out the window, because now they're looking for that. I mean, there are other sources you can do that, but it's not your best choice. You can borrow cash value of life insurance if you have it. You can make an annuity withdrawal, assuming that you're over 59 and a half. And there can be reasons to do it before, but I don't want to get into that. You can look at borrowing from your home. If you're over 62, or one of the spouses is over 62, you can take some money from a reverse mortgage. You could always repay that money at a later time, but you have ways to bridge the shortfall that isn't dependent on the drawing from a portfolio in a down market, and that's disastrous, because when the market does start to correct, it won't make any difference for you, because you won't have enough money left for you to have much impact. And there have been studies on that. And the destruction of the portfolio, depending on, of course, on how much money you take out, but the destruction of the portfolio can occur within 7 to 9 years if you're totally portfolio dependent.
You know, going back to longevity, I think I may have said it on this podcast years ago that you set your income for your clients up. You set it on Betty White. which, of course, I can't say that anymore. Bless her heart. She almost made it to 100, though. But two people I saw on podcast recently. One was John Fogerty, and he's 80, and he looked pretty much like the John Fogerty of Creedence Clearwater Revival days. It was impressive. And then William Shatner, who is 93.
Yeah, he's incredible.
Incredible. It really is. So you can't, you don't know. You shouldn't, certainly shouldn't, when you're looking at income in retirement, underestimate your potential lifespan in retirement. You really don't know. We've got some more misconceptions to get to. Fred's going to cover when you retire. He's going to cover taxes. All that is coming up on Money Matters USA.
Hurricanes, earthquakes, tornadoes, and fire. These are serious situations that we plan in advance for. The volatility of the market can be just as devastating. Get a plan meant to last, properly balanced, fully customized. That way, when a market correction does occur, you'll be ready. Call Fred Sade at 800-593-8188. That's 800-593-8188.
Back with more possible misconceptions people could have as they enter retirement, cleared up by Fred Sade, Money Matters USA, moneymattersusa.net, Fred's website. Be sure to click that red light button, the tab there, because it is the red light on the program you can learn about, red light on the dashboard program, I should say, and that custom approach and the way it's custom implemented and can be by Fred. You can read up on it. You can also either schedule with Fred at moneymattersusa.net, or you can call 800-593-8188 to schedule with Fred. We've got all that information on the landing page here too for the podcast Money Matters USA. Fred has covered misconceptions regarding spending in retirement, how long we may be in retirement, and how to plan accordingly. Let's get to the next misconception, and that is how long you may be working when you'll retire. 65 is kind of like that magic year we think of, but Fred, many people work past 65. I mean, that's not even Social Security full retirement anymore.
No, it's not. And one of the questions that's been raised in the conversations that were effectively published in the 2023, the top recommendations to modify Social Security, one of them was, if you raised the Social Security age to 70, would people be retiring at 60, 62, 65, 66? And that's an interesting question, because 65 is an arbitrary retirement age. It's the age that was picked because it was beyond average life expectancy at the time, and even for when Social Security was enacted in Germany by Bismarck, 40 was the average life expectancy. So age 65 as full retirement age, When it was enacted under President Roosevelt, even that was not expected to take a have a large population hit. I think I may be wrong on this, but if I'm thinking correctly, there were 12 people working to support each retiree. And 62, the idea of being able to claim at 62 was to be able to have the widow live in dignity and raise the children. I have to remember that that a lot of the labor was heavy duty manual labor. We didn't have all the automation that we have today. Mm-hmm. Even the assembly line was not, it didn't have robots.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it was still, the stuff moved past you, but it was still heavy manual labor, steel mills, coal mines. Yeah. So people didn't live as long. And don't forget, people used tobacco, liquor, food was different. The air was different. Medicine was different. Surgery was different. It was completely, completely different than it is today.
I remember the day when I was growing up when a heart attack was almost, I mean, a death sentence.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Someone I know some years ago, a relative of theirs had a massive heart attack where the aorta was ripped.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that was a death sentence, but this person survived because the surgeons were able to go in and sew the aorta back together and then use surgical glue to hold the stitching in place and then close this person's chest up.
Wow.
And she lived to almost age 90.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's amazing. It is amazing.
It's completely, completely different. A lot of people, especially in an inflationary time, automatically say, "Yeah, I'm gonna work. I'm gonna do something." So yeah, it may be a phased retirement if your employer will agree to that, where you take on less responsibility. Or maybe you don't supervise, or maybe you come in a couple of days a week, pretty much do your old job, and they don't hire someone, on a full-time basis because they got you coming in a few days a week. And then usually when you get to 70 or something close to that, you say that's it. But there are people who've had to go back to work because they've lived longer than they ever thought they would, and they assumed that their longevity would be 6-7 years, same as parents, and that's just not true any longer. So it's hard for people to recognize that there are only so many jobs that are available, and we saw an EBRI, the Employee Benefit Research Institute, did a survey, and they said 41% of Americans said they intend to work past age 65. When the survey was done in 1991, 30 years before, only 11% of people said they plan to work beyond age 65. Now, it's probably, I think that, inflation probably has a lot to do with that, perhaps extended longevity, but I think inflation, I think people tend to, overemphasize something that's recent, so-called recency bias, and then plan accordingly.
That makes sense, yeah. It's fresh on our minds.
Maybe overstated. There are just so many jobs that are available, and it may not be in your occupation. You're certainly not going to be in heavy physical labor.
Mm-mm.
So how many greeters do they need? In the big box supermarkets or standing on these automatic checkout kiosks. So I don't know. How many people want to be night watchmen?
Yeah. Well, or you may be in a profession, like, for instance, I can see me doing this as long as I can talk, because
sure,
I enjoy doing it, but who knows? And, also, too, with AI, Fred, we don't know what the work landscape will be in the future.
Yeah, I think, I know I've said this before, so I don't want to sound like a broken record, mm-hmm, but I do think that people have to plot out how they're going to manage in retirement, pre-retirement. The research shows that 90% of the conversations are financial, and post-retirement, 90% of the conversations are about what are you going to do in retirement,
mm-hmm,
because these are usually not properly planned for. So if you do a trial run, that will help you immensely, not only from a financial perspective, but also how you're going to manage your time, what is it you're going to do, how whatever it's going to be, but map it out. Start with the budget. See if the budget's realistic. Try to live on it for a month. See if you can do it. If you can't, then you got to go back and start working on
it
again. You know, again, this is where an advisor can be of a lot of help. There are free budget apps, you know, on the internet. There are people who do nothing but help with budgeting if you want to go that route. But whichever of these three routes you go on, it's important to work through what your expenses are, what you anticipate realistically they're going to be, and then to see how much discretionary income you need to have. And that's only going to become by doing, eventually when you get past the budget, you then have to get into some kind of income and retirement plan of some kind that will be realistic enough that will get you through through retirement. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean that this plan is in concrete and steel. It needs to be reviewed periodically. And it needs to be tweaked or adjusted as circumstances require. And how many times people will say to me, oh, I've done the financial plan. So, okay, great. Do you have an income plan? Oh, yeah, I have an income plan too. And then you say, okay, can you explain it to me? And they'll say, well, it's kind of up on the shelf. I said, okay, well, take the dust off and tell me what the plan is. And you find out that what they wind up telling you is that there is a disconnect between what they want and what they wanted, what they still want, and what the advisor or the planner or whoever did the plan. And it's that, and so they disregard it because it has no relevance to their life. And it's important that the plan be something that the person believes in, accepts, understands, wants, and if they have questions, then the questions should be answered by the plan. And if they, after they look it up and they still have questions, then it's time to ask whoever did the plan for you to help you with something that you can't answer. And the biggest thing is people underestimate their longevity, they underestimate their spending pattern. They underestimate fees. They underestimate taxation. There is no recognition that the tax system changes after age 65. Not only does the standard deduction increase, but the tax system itself changes once you hit 65. And once you turn Social Security on, it changes again. So it's really important to understand that the thinking and the practices that you use during the accumulation phase will not work, will actually be detrimental to you in the deaccumulation and income phase. Now, a lot of advisors and so on talk about taxes, but they really don't do any kind of tax planning. And it's imperative that retirement tax planning be done. Now, it should be checked with the tax preparer, CPA, enrolled agent, but they're not going to do the planning. Here's the reality. There is a shortage of CPAs, and they make their money by working with businesses. Unless you are dealing with super high net worth people, and usually they're going to be involved in a business of some sort, if you don't meet that description, you're going to have an awfully tough time trying to find a CPA that'll do anything other than your tax return. And they're not really doing it. They have other people who grind out the tax return with a with a tax program, and that's it. They're not going to be doing. They don't have the time. There just aren't enough of them. And the other thing that I would point out, or at least suggest, maybe that's a better way of saying it. You should have an expectation that the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act will expire on time, regardless of who is elected president. And if the Republicans control both houses of Congress and the White House, it won't be until 2027 that they would be able to get their tax changes enacted. So we're probably going to have 2 years or a year or more, because it's hard to know. Some changes could be enacted as of date of enactment. Others could be, another year or more into the future, depending upon the complexity of the changes. The other thing is, there's always trading, horse trading back and forth. Years ago, it used to be called log rolling. They don't use that term anymore, but, there's give and take negotiating back and forth. So it doesn't mean that the Republicans are going to get everything they want. It doesn't mean the Democrats will get everything they want in that scenario. But there may be some things that the Republicans don't want, but in order to get what they do want, they may have to give ground on some things and then hope they can make changes in the future. On the other side of the coin is if the Democrats control both houses of Congress, and President Biden is reelected. Well, we have the Green Book, which is the White House's plan, and it's very, very well thought out. And it estate planning, tax planning, as we know it, will be extremely difficult, because most of the things that are done and effective right now will be eliminated, at least for some period of time. So again, if this is the time to start now, don't wait till, I'll sit on the fence and wait and see what happens. And then in 2025, late 2024, then I'll start to plan. Not a good idea. There aren't enough CPAs. There are not enough tax attorneys, out there. There just is a shortage of them. And if you start in late 2024, you have the holidays, then you're into 2025, and you're going to stand in line and wait for somebody to actually open your file and say, okay, we can start now. So you could very well be in 2026, 2027 before they get to you. This is just facts of the way it is among tax attorneys and CPAs. So a word to the wise.
Well, definitely. And, there are just many components and many strategies that really should be implemented on your behalf. And that's something for your retirement. That's something Fred can talk to you about. And again, a great starting point before you even reach out to Fred is look at that red light on the dashboard, the red light program tab. That's at moneymattersusa.net. Also, another thing you can do, you can schedule there at moneymattersusa.net a consultation with Fred. Here are the podcasts. There are a lot there. You can listen on demand. There are 144 podcasts there with a description on each. Drop down on the podcast tab for Stump the Guru if you want to get a question to Fred. And also to schedule with Fred, you can call 800-593-8188, 800-593-8188, and talk about your retirement with a fiduciary with years' experience in focusing on the retirement arena or retirement phase of the whole financial process, your financial life. That's Fred Sate, and keeping us up to date every week here with Money Matters USA.
Investment advisory services offered through Money Matters USA, LLC. Fred Sade and his guests provide general information, not individually targeted personalized advice, and are not liable for the usage of information discussed. Exposure to ideas and financial vehicles should not be considered investment advice or a recommendation to buy or sell in any of these financial vehicles. This information should also not be considered tax or legal advice. Individuals should consult with a professional specializing in the fields of tax, legal, accounting, or investments regarding the applicability of this information for their situation. Past performance is not a guarantee of future results. Investments will fluctuate and when redeemed may be worth more or less than when originally invested. Any comments regarding safe and secure investments and guaranteed income streams refer only to to fixed insurance products. They do not refer in any way to the securities or investment advisory products. Fixed insurance and annuity product guarantees are subject to the claims paying ability of the issuing company and are offered through Money Matters USA, LLC. By contacting Money Matters USA, you may be provided information regarding the purchase of insurance products.